All right, guys, welcome to Talking Shop. We're back. I'm your host, Gray Sherrill, and with me tonight is my buddy Jules. Say hello, Jules.
Hey, Jules Gallet here. We haven't done one of these in a while because you broke your mic.
And the one we did never got posted because the computer deleted it.
That's true.
It wasn't a good time, but it was a good rant that everybody should imagine in their minds, us just destroying the rise of Arsenal. It was a good time.
I remember, it was great.
It was like 2 hours of just awesome brilliance, and this is the problem with technology, kids. It just doesn't work. But tonight, we've got some event fatigue for you guys, because DC released its March Solids, and with it, the first three parts of War of the Green Lanterns. And you want to open up with your thoughts on War of the Green Lanterns?
I mean, I keep trying to tell you I don't have any opinion on War of the Green Lanterns.
That's why I wanted you to go first.
Well, I mean, personally, in the broadest sense of having an opinion, I'm not sure why the Green Lantern universe needs to be having another event so soon. If anything, the Blackest Night really did just finish up here. Other than that, in a broader sense, I think it's real stupid that right now we're teaming up. There's going to be a Superman event, a Green Lantern event, a Flash event. That just doesn't make sense to me. That three core franchises are all having events around the same time.
I don't think it's supposed to make any sense.
Yeah, that's pretty much, in general, like, my opinions on the entire situation.
And notice how Brightest Day isn't even over and they're starting the shit up.
That's true. Brightest Day is almost over, though.
But it's not an event. It's a 26-issue maxi series. I mean, what else do you call it?
Yeah, I just forgot. Like, I forgot about, like, the whole thing about Brightest Day was the fact that they're trying to find the Earth's new protector.
At least it's not Batman.
Well, no, it's not Batman. I don't really care who it is.
It's going to be disappointing, whoever it is, because it's...
At this point, it doesn't even matter.
It's going to wind up being Deadman.
But I don't know. I hope they bring back the first Hawk. No, the first Dove, and make it him.
That would be kind of awesome. It would work really well with the everything that happened in Blackest Night with him.
Yeah.
Of course,
I'm going to make that call now. The Protector of the Earth is going to be Don Hall.
Don Hall, I'll take that bet, because it's not going to be Mitch Shelley.
Nah.
Because I'm the only person who remembers his name.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I actually like Resurrection Man. I got DNA to sign my copy of Resurrection Man 1 million, and I was very happy of that fact. Most people don't know there was a 1 million issue of that book, but it was important, damn it.
DC 1 million, I'm going to throw this out there. All right. Here's what I'm going to say. Other than, like, the original Crisis...
Yeah?
I think DC 1 Million is, like, the only good event DC has, like, done ever.
See, I like Zero Hour, but DC 1 Million is my favorite. Since I actually started reading comics in, like, 93, 94, DC 1 Million is just... It's the best crossover event I've seen from either company.
Yeah, DC 1 Million... Because it's just so entertaining.
I mean, it's
just like a fun little romp.
It's Morrison at his finest. He's just took everything in the whole DC universe to batshit crazy levels. And he Morrisoned the entire universe into the future. It's awesome. And like he made like you the most minor characters were huge. Like I love Starman.
Like I that. Like Hourman 1 million. He's real cool.
I was glad that he carried over. I love all the little uses of continuity, too, like how John Fox was the Flash in the future because we had seen him in Wade's run.
Yeah, that was real nice.
And I will say, my favorite part was the three-part crossover in there that nobody seems to recognize. Green Lantern 1 million, Martian Manhunter 1 million, Resurrection Man 1 million. You read those three together, you get the most awesome little story. And I'm sorry, Jean in the future, he's a planet. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, Superman's in the sun.
DC 1 million.
What?
I want to read DC 1 million.
I'm trying to... I wish they'd release more trades of it, because, like, it's really nice that, you know, they did release A-Trade, but it's only got the core miniseries and the JLA issue.
Yeah.
But, like, I want to see them do, like, how Marvel did for the Clone Saga or for Onslaught. Do, like, one of those for DC 1 million. You could do it in two giant trades. I mean, maybe three.
I would just say, just do a hardcover.
Oh, there's too many issues, dude. I'm saying do one with all of the issues.
No, fuck that. They can do a hardcover. If they traded all of Morrison's new X-Men run, they can trade all of DC 1 million.
That was a very, very big book.
I'm looking at that book right now. I love it.
I have Ennis's Punisher in that form. It's very big. You could beat somebody to death with it. It's fitting.
Yeah.
I mean, you could punish somebody with the Punisher. But War of the Green Lanterns. My problem with this, I'm looking at the solids and we open them back up. And, you know, Green Lantern, it says that a malevolent force has usurped control over all the power batteries, leaving the core powerless except for a select few members. And that's up to Hal Jordan, Guy Gardner, Kyle Rayner, Jon Stewart, and Sinestro to regain control. But can these warriors overcome their differences in time to save the universe? Question one. They say core. Does that mean Green Lantern or just all of them? And if so...
I also wonder that.
Is that saying that Sinestro has a green ring for some reason?
I also wondered that as well.
And, like, I'm totally cool with these five being, like, the centerpieces because you really can't go bigger than five. But at the same time, I would drop Jon Stewart out for Kilowog. I like Kilowog.
I mean, I guess. Like, let's show Jon Stewart some love. Fuck Kilowog.
Kilowog's awesome. And Jon Stewart gets enough love. I mean, you see all those tweets when they show the Green Lantern trailer, everybody complaining that Green Lantern is supposed to be black?
I did see those. I mean...
It made me laugh. A bunch of people, you know, complain about how DC got it wrong and how they're making every action hero white. But Green Lantern's white. Jon Stewart's black.
I wouldn't even want to see... I don't know. I don't want to talk about Green Lantern.
We'll make it quick. There's only three issues to cover, and that the first one we've pretty much just done. The second one's the reason this whole rant came about. Because I'm looking at Green Lantern Corps 58... War of the Green Lanterns Part 2, Kyle Rayner versus Jon Stewart, that's all it says. And that could be an awesome, awesome fight. I do trust Tony better there. But this is the reason I had to do the rant. This is the reason I wanted you just to sound more with me. We're gonna go to something more up your alley with a Flashpoint afterwards. But I read Green Lantern with Kyle Rayner. I have read every issue of his tenure as Green Lantern. I love it. That's my Green Lantern. Jon Stewart was his mentor, if anything. When Kyle was first getting introduced to the superhuman community after he joined the Titans, when he was dating Donna, she hooked him up with Jon Stewart because Jon was a Lantern. Like, she's like, here, meet this guy. He will teach you things. And he did. And whenever Kyle needed advice, he went to Jon. Whenever he needed anything, he went to Jon. And, you know, when it came on and Guy Gardner entered the picture more, and, you know, Guy was, like, his best buddy, but John was, like, you know, was, like, the uncle. John took care of him. And when Brother's Keeper happened and Kyle's assistant got the crap beaten out of him and Kyle lost faith in humanity, he gave John the ring. John was, like, his best buddy. John was, like, the most important influence in his heroic life. But DC likes to paint it that Kyle and Guy are buddies and John and Hal are buddies. And I get that, you know, Hal and John, you have your military guys, and Guy and Kyle, well, they're both just awesome. I can't come up with a better one, can you?
No. Like I said, I kind of don't want to talk about GM.
I'm sorry. It'll be very brief, but that's it. It's like,
yeah.
Kyle and John versus John doesn't make any sense to me. Because even if they're disagreeing on a point, the two should have enough mutual respect built up over the last 15 years of them being friends that they're not going to fight over Hal and Guy being bitchy with each other.
No. Okay, well, that brings back, like, the central issue here. Like, this is Geoff Johns we're talking about. This man doesn't have to adhere to continuity. He can write whatever he wants, and it will be the new continuity.
Rebirth retcons are how I learned to stop worrying and blame Johns.
Yeah, like, and I'm not using this as like a criticism of Jeff Johns specifically. I like Jeff Johns' writing. I have no problem with Jeff Johns. But there are certain writers in the comic book industry that work for the big two, Jeff Johns, Brian Bendis, I would say, being the two most egregious examples. You can pretty much write anything and then just not be edited. Like, their writing becomes the new canon.
Bendis is Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Where there's no such thing as chaos magic. It's like, Doctor Strange spent years as a master of chaos magic.
Mm-hmm.
The guys get big ideas, and they've got big names, and they get to do what they want. And I can understand it. But at the same time, it's like, some things just... they just don't make sense. Everything about Kyle Rayner's character, if you read any of that stuff, I mean, read Power of Ion. He doesn't go and, you know, do cool stuff with for guy with those powers. He gives John back his legs. Or helps him get back his legs. It's like, everything good Kyle has, like, ever done, like, for another Lantern, has happened to John or his horrible, horrible, stupid, slutty ex-girlfriend who should have stayed dead. Let's talk about Flash. Fuck Emerald Warriors.
Okay, let's talk about Flash. Here is my problem with Flashpoint.
Let's hear it, buddy.
My problem with Flashpoint is that there's already been... I don't know if you've ever read the Elseworld, but there is an Elseworld called Flashpoint.
I've read it. It was really good.
Yeah, I know. I liked it, too. And for some reason, everything we know about Flashpoint makes me think it's going to be that story all over again.
How do you figure?
I don't know. I'm just getting that feeling of, like, just doing that story again in the main universe.
I need to refresh something with what all happened in Flashpoint.
Yeah, it was like some alternate universe or something. It was
yeah, recap for the listeners, because Elseworlds, I imagine half you listen to this have never even heard of it, unfortunately. Just like less of her Resurrection Man.
Can I even give a summary of that?
Do your best, because you'll do a better job than me.
I know, it's like... There's some alternate universe where things didn't happen. There's like a universe where like things didn't happen, where like there weren't that many superheroes, but Barry Allen was still the Flash, and then he took a bolt for JFK, and then Vandal Savage tried to like take over the Earth, and then Barry wound up like going, he wanted to find the Flashpoint, which seemed like it was just a Speed Force, and he got the transport for over to the DCU proper, and become a hero, and he could walk again, he wasn't crippled anymore, something like that.
You're right. The only thing I found on Wikipedia about it is under the Elseworlds page where it says Flashpoint, where Barry Allen takes a bullet meant for JFK, paralyzing him from the neck down. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That premise alone is enough to make me want to read the book.
Yeah, it's a good story.
Like, I'm cool with that, but you know, I'll take note. You know, one thing Chris said in his review about the issue of Flash that I liked and you guys didn't like. Is that DC said we're building Flashpoint buildup, and there's been none of it. I agree. Whereas the only buildup we've had is one page of a guy on a motorcycle saying something about the Flashpoint.
Yeah.
And next issue is another Rogue Profile.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love me some Rogue Profiles. That's like the best thing Johns can do on Flash right now, because that first arc was pretty crappy. At least horribly, horribly paced, I should say. It was a very slow book for the Flash.
No, honestly, it's nice that Johns can write these Rogue Profiles, which is like, I hate that he has this huge boner for the Rogues. I really do. Like, I don't like it at all. Like, I don't feel like he can tell a good story about the Flash without using the Rogues.
I agree with that completely. But, I mean, at the same time, that's what made his run so great was that He did a great job with the hero and the villains in the first run. That's why that worked. But, you know, one of the things I didn't like, you know, they covered in Flash Rebirth was the Rogues are like, well, now that the old one's back, you know, everything has to change. We can't be the same guys we were before. We gotta be more vicious now.
Well, my whole thing about, even with his first run, I remember the only story from that first one that I really enjoyed, I would say, is Blitz. That's the best story he's written about the Flash.
Blitz was awesome.
Yeah. Other than that, like, I much preferred, like, Mark Waid's take on the character than Jeff Johns.
My favorite single issue of Flash is the Captain Cold issue.
Oh, my favorite issues of Flash are, it's a two-parter that was written by Wade and Grant Morrison, The Human Race. That might be one of my favorite stories ever published, period. Well, it is fantastic.
God, I read that story in years.
Oh my God, The Human Race is good.
I've read that in years. But I'm saying, you know, just as far as single-issue stories go, that Rogue Profile on, you know, Captain Cold, loved it. Like, that made me a Captain Cold fan. And actually, that's something you can bring about Johns. He loves the villains a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. I mean, Infinite Crisis, he built up every DC villain to be massive, and most of them kind of fell on their faces pretty flatly. Mm-hmm. And then you look at Blackest Night. The villains were more intimidating than the heroes were heroic. Mm-hmm. Flash, covered. The fact that Sinestro is more interesting, and actually, the fact that Lara Flees is the most interesting character in Green Lantern most issues.
Yeah.
And that's not an insult to the books. I like the book a lot. It's one of my favorite books in the market. But when Lara Flees starts talking, he's more entertaining than anybody else in the book.
No, oh, I agree. Like,
he's a mass murderer.
I don't know. I don't want to see Johns on the Flash anymore. That's really how I feel.
Agreed.
Like, I want someone else to take over the book.
Give it to Grant.
I would like Grant to be on the book, but I want him to stay on Batman forever.
I agree, because at this point, he really can't leave.
Now, Paul Cornell. Paul Cornell would be good on the Flash.
That could be really entertaining. How about Sterling Gates on the Flash?
No.
I like Sterling Gates.
No.
Like, I love Supergirl.
Now, you know who I'd really like to see on the Flash, but, like, that's not gonna happen?
Who's that?
Matt Fraction.
I agree 100%.
Matt Fraction on the Flash would be amazing.
Matt Fraction is the hottest property Marvel has, and they're very fortunate that they locked him up for a while, because he's probably one of the three best writers in comics right now, and he's the best thing they've got.
Agreed completely.
Like, I'd say him, Morrison, and who do you think Vince says number three?
Hickman's pretty good.
I like Fantastic Four. Secret Warriors, when Night started, I felt like I missed an issue. Mm. It's like it just jumps randomly from like story arc to story arc at the end here, and I don't get it, kinda.
Yeah.
Because, like, doing like, all the, you know, there's, I can't hear what the hell was going on, but all of a sudden, the Howling Commandos are, you know, Dugan's in a courtroom, and he's being court-martialed because he led some giant, you know, attack on China. And then randomly, everybody's older, and they're getting their asses beat. And I feel like I'm watching an episode of Lost. Like, no. Lost, I know I'm in different time periods. I feel like I'm watching The Event. Have you seen The Event?
Well, that show sucks.
Have you seen... How much have you seen, though?
I watched, like, the first... I think 5 or 6 episodes, and I'm just like, I'm not going to waste any more time with this show.
I'm still watching it.
Dude, you must hate yourself. That show's terrible.
It has its moments. I'll leave it at that. But the way they jump around time in that show, you never know what time period they're in. It drives me insane. And that's what it felt like.
Yeah, I don't like that show. But in regards to Hickman, I think I like his Secret Warriors. And I like S.H.I.E.L.D.
I have no idea what's going on in S.H.I.E.L.D. I like it,
I don't know what's going on in S.H.I.E.L.D. either, but I like it.
That's the only problem I have with Hickman is I like his work, but I have no idea what the fuck he's doing. Mm. Like, I want to know what he's doing. Fantastic Four is brilliant, though.
Actually, I forgot about his Fantastic Four.
Exactly. Actually, you know who...
That's real brilliant.
You know who might deserve a number three spot?
Who?
Mark Wade. For Irredeemable and Incorruptible. Mm. I mean, that 1-2 combo is one of the better ones in comics. Or, hell, Cornell for Action Comics.
You know, I still haven't read Irredeemable or Incorruptible.
You really need to. They're totally your kind of thing. I mean,
I mean, you're probably right. I'm just lazy.
I know you're lazy. You gotta check out a trade of it or something. Like, you'll like it. It's, you read them together, it goes hand in hand pretty nicely. It's fun. I mean, I've always kind of wondered what would happen if Superman went batshit and Sting and blew up Metropolis. Like, doesn't that sound like a good story to you?
I mean, not a good Superman story, but it does sound like a good Elseworld.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I wouldn't want to see Superman do that. I mean, I want to see Superman do something, but not that. Yeah. I don't remember the last time Superman hit something. Do you remember the last time Superman hit something?
I can't even remember if he hit Brainiac in that story that Brainiac was just in.
He might have. But that was like...
I think he did a little bit of hitting in that Legion story, which is probably my favorite Superman story the last couple of years.
Oh, Superman and the Legion?
Yeah, that story's great.
Oh, he did a lot of hitting in that. That's one of my favorites. I have the trade in my duffel bag for when I go out, so I have something to read.
Yeah, I carry around, I like Up, Up, and Away. I like the way that story ends.
Jeff Johns should have never left Superman.
I agree.
Secret Origin is one of my is probably my one favorite takes on his origin.
Really, I didn't like Secret Origin.
I liked it. I like the way he handles Superman. I mean, admittedly, he does it a little bit too Silver Agey, but he knows how to make Superman punch something.
See, I really like the arc of that story, but I just don't feel like, to me, he didn't do anything new there.
Well,
I don't feel like he did anything we needed to see.
I was okay with that because it didn't so much need to be something new. It just needed to establish that Man of Steel was no longer canon and Birthright was never canon.
Yeah, but...
I didn't like Birthright.
I'm trying to remember if I read Birthright. I don't think I've read Birthright.
I got about an issue and a half into it before Lin-El Yu's art just completely drove me insane. I think the only time I've ever liked Lin-El Yu really is on Superior.
I like Lin-El Yu on New Avengers.
He had an issue or two where I didn't mind him, but I don't like him on superheroes usually. He just draws really weird faces.
Yeah, no, his faces are really weird. But I enjoy it.
He might just need a better inker. Most people need a better inker, quote unquote, according to one of my artist friends. I don't know. I can't draw worth a damn.
Yeah, no. I wish I could draw. Are you kidding me?
Oh, that'd be so awesome.
If I could draw, I would finally bring Stoner Boy and his fantastic Bonkhead to life.
That'd be so awesome.
Yeah. That's a comic a lot of people would like, but I can't draw and I don't have any money to pay someone to draw it.
Exactly. Like I keep trying to ask my friends who draw to do stuff, and I mean, come on, you know how Amy plays Warcraft.
Yeah.
Like, that Warcraft has killed like at least two books that I've wanted to do.
Yeah, artists are mad lazy. I'm just gonna throw it out there.
I'm sorry, artists, I respect what you do, but a lot of you guys are mad lazy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of someone who's not. And I'm trying to be insulting in it, so I'm taking my time. But, you know, no offense to you guys, but Brian Hitch, it does not take 6 months to draw 22 pages. Steve McNiven, there is no reason why Ultimate... Which was the second meaning of that? It was Ultimate Nightmare, Ultimate Seeker, Ultimate Extinction. Was it that order? The Warren Ellis stuff?
I don't think about any of those books.
They were horrible books, but I'm saying McNiven, he had a four-issue mini to do. He did two issues of it. 6 months later, they announced that Tom Rainey's doing the last two issues.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm sorry, McNiven, I love your art, but you were on three books that weren't coming out. Which of them were you drawing? I mean, at least Joe Madureira was honest. He admitted that he was just playing Final Fantasy all the time and quit drawing.
Was he playing Final Fantasy 11? Because Final Fantasy 11 sucks.
No, he was playing Final Fantasy 7 or 8.
Oh, he's an asshole, man.
Yeah, this is like the 90s, dude. Like, you know, Joe Mad was like the X-Men. Actually, this is well before your time, but you've probably seen, like, Joe Mad X-Men stuff, right? Like, post-Onslaught.
Post-Onslaught? Yeah, I've seen some of it.
Yeah, he was, like, the artist on X-Men then.
So, He's the one that drew that really terrible version of Wolverine, right?
Which one? There were a bunch of them in that era.
Is when Wolverine gets all feral after losing it during Fatal Attraction.
Oh, that wasn't him. I mean, he drew some of it. I mean, he drew the one with, he drew like the bandana with the jaggy claws, but
the bandana Wolverine.
But he wasn't the only one. He was the guy who drew, like, you know, crap. Did you ever read the arc where the X-Men went to got split up in half and went to space, and half of them went on the run from Zero Tolerance?
Yes.
He was the space team.
Okay.
So, like, he was the one doing, like, Rogue in that awesome Shi'ar mining costume.
Yeah, good costume. Okay.
I like that suit. Just, like, here's something where she can walk up and she can do stuff, and it's practical, and she immediately drops it for leather and spandex. And it was a cool look for her. I mean, hell, all those space looks are pretty cool. I miss that art. They should trade that. Marvel needs a trade policy for older books.
Yeah, I don't understand why they don't trade more things.
I mean, DC trades anything they can get their hands on. But Marvel, no. And actually, I was talking with the guys at the comic shop, and I remember when I was in middle school, and it was a big deal because Marvel released Inferno in trade. This is 1996, 1997.
Yeah.
It's the first time they're ever collecting the story. I have it. I have no idea what was going on in it, and at the time there was no way to find out what was going on in it because there was no Wikipedia. But over the years I figured it out. And it was cool, I guess. And I remember Crisis came out when I was in middle school as well. And like they finally collected it into $100 hardcover that they immediately recalled because there was an error on the cover that Alex Ross had drawn something wrong and had to go back to print.
What was wrong with it?
I don't even know, but now that first copy that got recalled is worth like $500. But, you know, I still have an issue with paying more than, like, $40 if for a deluxe hardcover with less than, you know, 20 issues. Which is why I don't own All-Star Superman, the Absolute Edition, yet.
I need to get that.
I want it so badly, but the price is just, like, I'm sorry, this book is 12 issues. I'm not paying $100.
Reasonable.
I mean, when they were doing Absolute Death by Neil Gaiman, six issues for $100.
That's a mess. I don't really like hardcovers because I feel like the prices are really exorbitant. I prefer soft covers.
I like hardcovers because they're on Amazon, the price difference between hard and soft is pretty much negligible. I can't say that word. And they look nice on my shelf. But
that's
true. But they were a bastard when I took them to New York for the con.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, it's so hard to, like, just transport them.
Oh, I know. My Punisher one just murdered my spine for a couple days. Possibly because it was stacked on top of my Absolute New Frontier and below my, you know, Iron Man by Fraction Omnibus. Well, I'm an idiot. I had those three and I had more books on top of them. Yeah, I'm a dumbass.
I feel like I feel like we've gotten away from things.
We really have. I'm trying to figure out what we were on.
You hate War of the Green Lanterns.
No, you hate War of the Green Lanterns.
I don't really understand. I hate Flashpoint for reasons I don't really understand.
And the problem is that Johns is doing two events at once and neither one has been anything more than teased.
Yeah, so really the thing that we hate is Jeff Johns.
It's the fact that they haven't given us anything to really sink our teeth into yet except for some promo art.
Yeah.
And, like, we need some substance. Like, the reason Blackest Night worked is because when he set it up a couple years earlier, it was with that hand coming out, all those hands coming out of the ground. Like, you know, the rising from the dead teaser image. That's what made Blackest Night work. We knew 2 years in advance that the dead were going to rise.
Mm-hmm.
With War of the Green Lanterns, all I know is that Guy Gardner and Hal Jordan are going to get into a fight. And this is what I forgot to say earlier. The reason I don't care about that is because I have at least three trades but actually, no, not even sure if it's traits. I've read a bunch of books in my day of those two brawling. Hal Jordan and Guy Gardner, those two fight. They hate each other. Even when they respect each other, they hate each other. I mean, you remember when Johns came on Green Lantern, he said that one of the things he wanted to do was make the ring important, like only a Green Lantern could use it?
Yeah.
Because there was a story he had read in the 90s where these two hillbillies put the rings on and started making chainsaws and beer.
Mm-hmm.
It's because Guy and Hal took the rings off to get into a fist fight and got arrested, and two guys stole the rings. That's the point. It's like they got into a fist fight over pretty much nothing. Like, I mean, it was probably major at the time, but I think it was like how Hal didn't want to be a Green Lantern anymore, so they got into a fight. And two guys put the rings on, and Johns remembers these two guys wore the ring. But now it's like a big deal these two are fighting again. It's like, these two always fought. Read Zero Hour. Guy led the charge. He was more into it once he found out that Hal was the bad guy. I want it to be good. I really want Flashpoint to be good, because I'd like Flash to actually get kind of a purpose and what the hell's going on.
I want Barry Allen to go away again and Wally West to come back.
I want Wally West to get a new costume.
I want Wally West to go back to the costume he was wearing.
I want to go back to the one he was wearing in the 90s, which is the one that he was wearing but with solid white eye slits. And that way, if they keep Barry around, you can tell the difference, because one's got solid eyes.
Well, I mean, he's sort of wearing that costume now, but his mask is kind of like all hard plastic and rubbery.
He looks like an action figure.
Yeah, he does.
I'd also like to see this new Impulse mentioned again, because they've even referenced that Wally's kid has powers since Rebirth.
Oh, she was in this. They mentioned her in the Supergirl solicit.
Really?
Yes.
Let me go find this.
I was very surprised.
Where is this? Scrolling. All right. Oh, yeah. The Supergirl solicit for the readers is Supergirl 62 by Nick Spencer and Bernard Chang. And Spencer assembles the cream of the crop of the next generation of DC superheroes in this issue. Robin, Static, Miss Martian, Blue Beetle, Batgirl, the new Impulse, to team up with Supergirl and take on a villain who promises to define this generation as much as Darkseid, Luthor, and the Joker did prior ones. Good luck, kids. I expect myself to not care.
And I expect this villain to never be seen again.
That's why I don't care.
Yeah.
Because everything sounds awesome until he says, we're making a brand new villain for it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, here's the other thing I've got. And this is something I went on a little rant about, and it's going to be in my my spoiler posting. It'll be up tomorrow, or by the time this goes up today. But did you see the Generation Lost solids?
I did.
I like this. It's the Calm Before the Storm in issue 21. Beetle is dead. So
Yeah, I didn't like that.
There's like three books in here that I went through where they just flat out spoiled something. And I'm sorry, you're killing the Blue Beetle? Why?
I don't think they're really killing him off.
Here's the thing, I went and looked through. Have you seen the cover to 19?
I did see the cover. I don't buy it.
No, the cover to 19 where it's the red and black one of Max standing over Beetle with a bolt in his head.
Yeah. I don't buy it. They're not killing Blue Beetle.
They really can't. Like, I wasn't into his series, but I like the character. I think he's got a place in the DC universe. He deserves it. So, you know, to kill him, that's just weak.
I don't think they're going to kill him.
I mean, maybe to demoralize Boost.
If they kill Blue Beetle, I might boycott all non-Batman books.
Ouch. Not hard to do, though, because DC, as much as I love them, they're making it kind of hard to keep selling to people because they're not really telling us what the hell's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like Flashpoint in the War of the Green Lanterns. What's the long-term point here? What is this? Why are these things happening? with War of the Green Lanterns. I'm reading all three Green Lantern books. They say all the control over all the power batteries has been usurped and all the cores are powerless. Is this because of Krona and Green Lantern with all the entities? Or just because this guy in the Unknown Sectors and Emerald Warriors who is making Green Lanterns and drain the central battery? Which of these two is it?
Who knows?
Is it both? Is it neither? Like, which of these is more important? Which one should I pay more attention to? But, you know, we should make fun of something really bad, though. That we can agree is really bad. Have you seen the Solid for Justice Society?
No, I don't even look at them anymore.
Have you seen Alan's new costume?
God damn it. What is it? Send me a link to this, please.
I'm sending it to you. Check on your aim. You might be mad at me for this. I call this the "Yep, I broke my neck" costume. That's not badass at all.
Terrible.
Can we agree that is not even close to badass?
I think that's the most terrible. That's awful.
He's wearing a full body cast.
He's wearing a full body lantern.
And look at his arms and legs. They're being braced for support because he can't move them on his own. Newsflash, fucking Guggenheim. Alan Scott has sentient willpower. It's been established by...
Yeah, I was just about to say, like, his body shouldn't be in any...
Every writer who has tackled him for the... I want to say back... Oh, crap. Let's go back to when he became Sentinel during Zero Hour. When he was the only JSA member who was not aged. Let's move forward to the Heart of Darkness mini with Green Lantern back in the late 90s, where Jade became powerless and he found out what his power source was exactly. Or held JSA under Johns when nothing could kill him. And Dr. Midnight proved that he was made of willpower. Unless dude's hand was made of wood, he shouldn't have hurt Alan.
I wish you hadn't shown it to me.
I'm sorry, but it's like an Alan forgets that he doesn't actually have bones or nerves or blood.
No, he doesn't have any of those things.
He's green.
Well, this is really another case of like a writer just not being edited. Like, there should have been, there are supposed to be editors at DC who read scripts and be like, no, like, Alan Scott is made of green stuff. He does not have bones to break.
Yeah, like, if anything, like, this book has made me very happy that while he came up with the idea for what's going on in Action Comics, that he said, I'm not good enough to write this and let Cornell do it.
Yeah. And well, I think on that note, we should just stop talking.
Yeah, I think that'll actually do it.
Because we've been talking for an hour.
Just about, but we've done it.
Yeah, so basically, all you comic book writers out there, like, if you know you suck, just don't make us suffer because of it.
And editors, continuity check.
Yeah, do your fucking jobs, editors.
Like, you're called editors. Don't let a character do what Alan Scott did.
Yeah.
Especially not a character who is Alan Scott. I'm sorry. He's an institution. You've had him as long as Superman. Don't muck him up just because some dude's like, I want to give him a new suit with a full body cast.
Yeah.
Give us really, a Wildcat.
It really is a terrible redesign. Like, there's just nothing positive about that costume, I can say.
I mean, Alan's had maybe three redesigns that I know of. There was the original design, there was that Sentinel costume he wore in the 90s. And then there was the, when he came back as Green Lantern in JSA.
Mm-hmm.
And with the only variant being when he had on the eye patch. And I thought the eye patch was awesome. I was pissed when he got that eye back.
The eye patch was cool, actually.
Especially underneath the Domino mask.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why does he need the eye patch too? Who cares? It's awesome. And I know how he got the eye back.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah. Writers, check your shit. Editors, do your job. And please, with these events, since you're throwing so many at us, give us some better teasers so we know what we're being teased about. Because it's going to be really hard to sell Guy Gardner versus Hal Jordan to the majority of fans. A lot harder than selling superpowered zombies, because that's a really easy sell. Marvel proved with Marvel Zombies a couple years ago. Man, I want a Marvel Zombie by Kirkman again.
I never read more than the first one.
The first one was the best one.
Okay.
Actually, the first one and the Evil Dead versus Marvel Zombies mini. That was fun.
But alright, dude. I'm going to sign off because I want to smoke a cigarette and go check out this eclipse.
Nice. I'm going to go do the same.
Alright, man.
Alright. Peace. Peace, bro.